Hello and welcome to a new season of the Star Blades podcast. I'm Chris Holt. I'll be here every week with James Shield and Danny Hall, though Danny's not with us this week, but I've got James ready, willing, and able to talk us through what's been going on over the summer. And I look ahead towards, obviously, there's a slightly delayed start for Sheffield United in their championship campaign. They play on Monday night against Watford. So we will start right at the very back of the summer. James, how have we seen things so far in terms of the mood around the place, the recruitment, how are things shaping up going into the start of this new season?
Listen, results during pre-season have been mixed. There's no point in pretending otherwise. But I think, as we all know, and as statistics have proved, I was reading a piece of analysis over the last weekend, actually, that sort of suggested there was very little correlation between results in pre-season and results during a season proper. So I don't think that's too much of a concern. I think the most encouraging thing for me at this stage, and it's important to give that caveat, is some of the recruitment work that Sheffield United have done. I think the players that they've brought in have been re or look really, really good acquisitions. We're obviously talking about Raida Kadra. He's been signed on loan. Tommy Doyle, he's been signed on loan. Kieran Clark, he's been signed on loan. And Anel Amadosic has been signed for what we understand is an initial £3 million fee from Malmo. Adam Davis, the Wales international goalkeeper, of course, has agreed a new contract after his short-term deal expired. So I think if you look at the squad, there's a really good mixture of youth and experience there. I think the work that Sheffield United have been able to do has addressed some of the issues that we may well get into later. I don't know that we saw last season. But I did say at this stage, because of course there's still just over a month of the transfer window to go. Sheffield United's squad looks streamlined but pretty strong at this point in time. But of course, there's plenty of time for that to change if players like Sander Berge and Max Lowe are tempted away. They've obviously both got admirers across Europe. So, but you know, that is a concern for me as well. And I've addressed this in the newspaper. The dependence on loans is a little bit of a concern for me as well. But let's not get too negative at this stage. I think going into the new season, as things stand at this point in time, Sheffield United look in pretty good shape. I think there's still a few issues for them to address, but you would expect that.
What are those issues, do you think? Where do you think they're still a little bit late?
I think there's potentially an issue in goal. Davis will miss the start of the season with a medial knee ligament injury. Jordan Amisa is a good young goalkeeper, but he's untested. At senior level, he's not made his senior debut for Sheffield United yet. He will deputise for Wes Fodringham down at Vicarage Road. If something happens to Wes, you know, Davis looks like he's going to be out for at least another month. If something happens to him, there's a potential issue there. I think that would force Sheffield United into the emergency loan market. And the other one, of course, is the fact that they've only got one right wing back at this point in time, and that's George Bulldog. Jayden Bogle's going to be out for a while. I think the things that I'm hearing is that Paul Heckingbottom has pretty much used up his budget now in the transfer market, but he's clearly applying pressure on the board to try and bring somebody in to provide cover for George. That obviously signifies that he doesn't expect to see Jayden Bogle back at any time soon, and that is an issue. I think the division is going to be very, very competitive this year. I don't think it's as good a division as we've seen in previous seasons in terms of quality. I don't think there's any standout sides like the ones we've seen: Aston Villa, Newcastle in recent seasons, Norwich as well. But I think what's happened is the quality, the differential in quality between the teams has really condensed. So I think it is going to be more competitive, and Sheffield United don't want to be having to put round pegs in square holes, or is it square pegs in round holes? I'm never quite sure at any point of this this season, especially not in a position that is as crucial to them as those wing-back roles are. The way that Sheffield United like to set up, although Heckingbottom has suggested we could see a couple of tactical adjustments because of the work he's been able to do in the market. But those wing-back positions are absolutely key for Sheffield United. And you don't want to be, you know, listen, with all due respect to him, you don't want to be playing someone like Ben Osborne there for too long. We saw in the first match of last season how Ben playing at wing-back was caught out just in terms of his positioning, his body shape on one challenge. Listen, he didn't cost Sheffield United the game against Birmingham, but he was at fault for that goal. I don't blame him for that. He can play there, but he's not a wing-back by trade. Ben Osborne is a midfielder, and Sheffield United don't want to be getting themselves into that position again. So I think that's an issue that they're going to have to address. Paul Heckingbottom is clearly pressing for it to be addressed when you read some of the things that he's been telling us in the media. And now it's up to the board, I think, to help him do that.
I was going to mention Ben Osborne, actually, because aside from that, he probably did fairly well.
Mm.
Really, in that position, whenever he was.
Yeah, and he did. You just saw in that one game, and it was, listen, Ben has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. I accept that. But you just saw it was his body shape on that challenge that enabled Birmingham to get into a position to score that goal. You know, a specialised wing-back probably wouldn't have been caught out like that. And do you know what? Listen, I know this isn't the main thrust of this podcast. I know we're looking at Sheffield United as a whole and how we think they're going to get on during the new season and how equipped they are for Monday's game against Watford. But one of the things I really does hope happens this year is that Ben Osborne is allowed to compete for a midfield role.
Yeah,
I think he's a great asset to that football club. He's a really good guy as well. He's the type of person that you want around your club. He's the type of player that you want in a club as well that's got a streamlined squad. And I think great credit to Ben that he's done this without protesting and without kicking up a fuss. But he's a better player than, you know, just being shunted around and asked to fill in different roles. I really hope he's allowed to compete as a midfielder this season, because that's what he was brought into the club to do.
I've only seen probably about half of the preseason games this summer. Osborne has actually been impressive playing in a midfield role. So he's certainly done enough, I think, from what I've seen anyway. I don't know what he was like in either of the games against Burton Barnsley. But he's certainly given Paul Heckingbottom something to think about in those midfield roles there. Particularly, I guess, when you look at maybe John Fleck's form last season possibly wasn't as good as certainly as we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what you'll see through increased competition is an upturn in form from players like John Fleck, from players like Chris Basham, from players like John Egan. There is that competition there now. And footballers will sit in front of people like ourselves and will tell fans that we always give 100%. We're always bang on it. We always want to do our best, and they do. But having competition for places just brings a little bit of extra edge to everything that they do, and it brings out the best in players. Kieran Clark actually spoke really well about this last week, and he said explicitly, you need to know that there is someone in this squad who is perfectly capable of taking your shirt off you. He said, you need to be in that type of environment if you want success. Now, you know, supporters in the Northeast might roll their eyes at this, but Kieran Clark has spent the past few years at a very, very good football club, Newcastle. He spent time as well at Aston Villa. These aren't sort of two bob football clubs. These are proper teams. And to spend the vast majority of your career at Premier League level, you need to know what you're talking about. Kieran Clark knows what he's talking about when he talks about something like that. So you know, I think you will see whether Ben Osborne starts the season. If he does, I think you will see more come out of players like John Fleck or Paul Heckingbottom, certainly will do in the training sessions. If he doesn't, I think you'll see more from Ben Osborne because he knows I'm fighting for a role in that team rather than just waiting for somebody to get injured and suspended. And I, you know, I'll probably fill in there for a couple of weeks and then duck out again.
I'm not talking about who, I guess on paper, which of the signings have impressed you most? You know, I'm not looking at what you've seen over since they've had the club, but if you're say an outsider and you're looking at all the ins and outs of the transfer dealings of Championship clubs this summer, who would you look at there in Sheffield United's recruitment and say that's a big signing, I'm impressed by that?
I'm going to give two different answers here. And I think because there's two different reasons as well. I think the Armadoge signing is impressive because, not because of the fee, because listen, in the grand scheme of things, £3 million is not a lot for a footballer in this day and age. It sounds almost obscene to say that, but it's not. So I'm not getting excited about the fact that Sheffield United have signed a player on a permanent basis. But I think what's impressed me there is he's an international footballer, plays for Bosnia and Herzegovina. He's also played for Sweden as well. But he's at the right age. He's a young player. He's a young player who comes with experience. And when you look at those central defensive positions within United's squad, it's quite an ageing area of the team. And so I think going forward, if Sheffield United can keep hold of him, and I was a little bit concerned to hear people around the player sort of start talking about what he may and might not do after he's been a success at Sheffield United. You know, I hope he's focused on staying here for at least the duration of his contract. And I'm sure he is. But Sheffield United needed to address that area. They needed to address that sort of almost personnel weakness within their squad in terms of the age. So that has impressed me. Excuse me. I think that's a really important signing. But just in terms of pure football, I would be lying if I didn't say it was Raider Kadra, because I think he's a really exciting player. I think if there's been a fault that you can lay at Sheffield United's door during pre-season, it's been that they've just looked a little bit predictable at times. They've looked a little bit sort of pedestrian, one-paced going forward. They've got some really good players there. I'm not actually on about Illiman and Jaye and Rian Brewster, who I think's done really well during pre-season as well, or the strikers. I'm talking about that attacking build-up play. And obviously, with losing Morgan Gibbs-White, that was something that they needed to address. Raider Kadra's the type of player, as Sheffield United know from experience, as they found out to their cost when they went to Ewood Park, where he was on loan last season with Blackburn Rovers, that Brighton and Hove Albion forward is someone who can just produce a moment of magic. He's got pace. He's got that sort of mindset where, you know, I'm not going to be too constrained by tactics. I'm going to try something. I'm going to try and sort of, you know, force the issue in a game. And so I think just bringing that little bit of unpredictability to the squad was vitally important too. So in terms of what Sheffield United need to do long term, I think it's Ahmed Hozic. And I probably pronounced that totally wrong. But I think in terms of just pure excitement, and I speak as a former centre-half myself, albeit not a particularly good one, but I think it's Raider Kadra for me is the most exciting.
And it's also, I mean, I don't want to play anything down. People are rightly impressed and excited by the arrival of Kadra. It's also important that they don't expect Morgan Gibbs-White to...
Yeah, he's a different player.
A different player. He is, as you said, he is filling in that space, that gap of somebody who can just offer a little bit different, something a bit different in tight games. but he's not the same type of player, and people shouldn't really expect to see a Morgan Gibbs-White Mark II for this coming season, should they?
No, absolutely. And in a strange sort of way, listen, we'd all love Morgan to still be at the football club, but that was never going to happen when they didn't get promoted. And I suspect even had Sheffield United been promoted with the way that Morgan had performed over the course of his loan, I think he would have probably been beyond their financial reach. But I'm almost quite pleased that Raider isn't the same player as Morgan Gibbs-White as well, because one of the things you don't want is for a club or a squad to become stale. And I think at times over the past 12 months, there has been a little bit of a danger of that happening at Sheffield United. That's not to say that they haven't got some very good players, because they have. But sometimes you do need just to sort of freshen things up and to do things a little bit differently, if only to keep your own players sort of totally engaged and totally on point. So I don't actually think it's a bad thing at all that Raider is a different type of player to Morgan. It brings something a little bit different to the table, and it'll help Sheffield United, the same as Tommy Doyle will when he is fit again after his injury during pre-season. And the same way as the two centre-halves will as well. It'll just bring a little bit of a freshness to that squad. And I think that's something that Sheffield United have needed as well.
What are we expecting this season? I mean, last season, we knew there was going to be a bit of a hangover. You know, we kind of expected that, but there was a change in manager coming in and things didn't work out there. And it was almost a kind of starting again process about a third of the way through the season or a quarter of the way. But given what Paul Heckingbottom did when he came in, and the kind of stability and a resurgence that he brought to the club, does that mean that Sheffield United now become Are they expected to be top six at least? Is that what they're looking at this season?
Yeah, I think they have to be. Absolutely, they have to be. They've talked from board level downwards in very, very sort of ambitious terms. And a club like Sheffield United should be challenging for the top six in the Championship. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Players like Kadra, players like Ahmed Ozic, players like Kieran Clark, players like Tommy Doyle, they've not come here to tread water in the division. And players like John Egan, players like Ben Osborne, who we've talked about, players like Chris Basham, players like Illiman and Jai, Rian Brewster, they've not come to finish mid-table at all. Absolutely no doubt about it. The absolute minimum that Sheffield United should be going for this season is top six. No, I don't even think, I'm not questioning you here, Chris, but I don't even think there's a debate there to be had about that.
In that case, seeing as you are so vociferous and passionate about this, should the top two be a realistic aim?
I think it should be an aim, and I think it's a realistic aim, because Sheffield United have been promoted out of this division before when nobody expected them to finish in the top two. So it's definitely an aim. Whether or not I would say with the same conviction that I think they should be challenging for the top six, I'm not saying they will do, by the way. I'm just saying that I think that's what a club like Sheffield United should be doing, and I think they've certainly got it within themselves to do that. Whether or not I would say with the same conviction and the same degree of certainty that they'll challenge for the top two or finish inside the top two, I don't know. I think the team that they're going to play on Monday, Watford, I think are going to be very strong. I suspect Norwich will be strong again, although the odds on them keeping doing this yo-yo act between the two divisions, at some point that's going to stop. But you know, either way, whether they stay in the Championship or they get back to the Premier League and manage to stay there. But they're going to be strong again. I think there's no doubt about that. Dean Smith knows his way around the division. I think Chris Wilder, who everybody at Bramall Lane knows very well, will get Middlesbrough going as well, providing it can get that front line sorted out. So I think it's going to be West Brom have spent big again, haven't they, in terms of wages? So I think that is going to be harder. That is going to be harder, but it's something that they can achieve. It's something that they can do, and it's something that they'll believe in themselves they can do. But top six, Paul Heckingbottom said himself on Thursday during his pre-match press conference, I'll be disappointed if we don't at least get a playoff spot. So, you know, they can't have that now and then suddenly change their minds about it halfway through a season and try and pretend if they're languishing in mid-table come April that the season has in any way been a success, because it won't have been. End of.
I was going to ask you about the teams who you expect to challenge alongside them, and you've named probably most of them there already. But are there any surprises that you think in the Championship this season? Is there a team there that you think might just kind of sneak up who maybe a lot of teams fans aren't expecting to be there?
Well, I said Stoke City, I believe, last year. I thought they would challenge, and I think Dwight Gayle will be a really good signing for them. But I've thought that Stoke for the past couple of seasons, so I'm just going to ignore them totally, which fans at the Bet365 will probably be absolutely delighted to hear. I think West Brom, as I've said, I suspect will be strong. Middlesbrough, Norwich. Luton, I'm going to be really interested to see how they go, actually. They've obviously got Luke Freeman, who was at United last season there. They've lost a few, as you would expect, but I think Nathan Jones, he's got a club there. Everybody at that club knows what they're doing. They all know what their jobs are, and that enables them. I hate this phrase, punch above their weight, because you don't consistently do that over the course of a season. So I think that was a tag that was sort of unfairly given to Luton last term, that they were punching above their weight. They weren't. You don't do that over the course of a 46-match campaign. But I think enabling everybody there, knowing their jobs, it enables them to really sort of accentuate their strengths and squeeze out the sort of absolute maximum from everybody. And I'm not just talking about on the pitch there, I'm talking off the pitch as well. So I'll be really fascinated to see how they do. Beyond that, listen, anybody could come through, really. I think anybody could do, because that... It's become a cliche, because it's true. That's one of the things about the Championship. There will always be a couple of teams that come out of nowhere. There will always be a couple of teams that... Look at Blackburn last season. Nobody expected them to be pushing for automatic promotion, which they were at one stage, and it was only injuries that really hijacked that bid. You know, an injury to Raider Kadra, for example. So I think the big quality this year is going to be just not panicking within a squad. Clearly, Sheffield United have got to get off to a better start. They can't afford to be playing catch-up again. But there will be times in the season when things don't go well. What they did last year shows that a bad patch isn't necessarily the end of your season. And I think the big quality for teams next year, unless somebody absolutely goes at it and seizes control of the division right from the off, is going to be not to panic, to be able to keep a level head. Because again, something else Paul Heckingbottom said yesterday, which I thought was quite interesting. He said, very often form is easier to address than things like luck and things like not having the right squad in place. And I thought that was, the more you think about that, I thought the more interesting it was. So I think he obviously feels they're in a decent position. I think he just wants Sheffield United to be in the right mindset, and that's something that he'll have been working on this week.
Speaking of, not panicking and realising that there'd be tough tests and there'd be big challenges ahead, they kick off with a really tough test, and it's important that people realise that, you know, come on, United, there's a fair chance you're starting the season with a defeat, because you're playing a very good team for a start. You're away from home, you know, it's Monday night, big big crowd, big expectations. It's important that people realise that this is a, you know, it's a really, really tough start to the campaign.
It is a really, and I think it's the toughest start to the season that Sheffield United could have been given. Watford away from home, but you know what? It's a really tough start for Watford as well. I think they would have probably rather played somebody else on the opening day. But then you can make an argument, is this a bad time to play Watford or is this a bad time to play Sheffield United? Because things won't quite have been bedded down yet. They'll still have work to do in the transfer market. I think certainly Watford will be doing some more. So, yeah, it is a tough game. I think it's a game that Sheffield United could easily win. I think it's a game that Sheffield United could easily lose as well. I know we always like to get a bit downbeat on this side of the city, don't we? But it's a game that we could easily be talking about a Sheffield United win here, and then suddenly everything's in the gardens rosy, the sun's shining, and the Lionesses are going to, shouldn't use that word, should I? But the Lionesses are going to win the European Championships on Sunday night. So, yeah, so it is. It's a really, really tough game. I'm not going to be surprised to see Sheffield United get beat. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sheffield United win it either. So, you know, could easily be a draw. But I think the fact that they're going down there and they feel and they're in a position to be competitive against a team like Watford, I think is something that should give them encouragement.
Christopher Barton on Facebook has sent us a message saying, what team do you think will start against Watford? No, I'm not going to... there he is there, his lovely dog. I'm not going to ask you actually to name the your starting 11 because actually we're going to run a story based around that over the weekend, so you'll have to wait. But what I will ask actually is the front line, the forward line. What, given you've seen the majority of the games so far this summer, who would you, or certainly, yeah, well, most of them anyway, who would you start up front? And in kind of what way would you put them?
Illiman Ndiaye, because I think he's the most naturally talented player at the football club, and I think he's someone who can scare defenders, and I think he's someone who can produce a moment of magic. Raider Kadra, largely for the same reasons, and also I'm not one of these who I can never get. I always think sometimes this is when managers and head coaches make football a damn sight more complicated than it actually is. I'm going to bring somebody in on loan, but, you know, God, they've not quite got here in time. Paul Heggenmotton will probably be thinking James is speaking absolute rubbish here if he's decided to do something different, but, and I may well be. But in my opinion, there's no point in bringing a player in, because if you bring him in, you clearly think he's better than what you've got. You clearly think he's worth a place in your starting 11. Play him. Stick him in. Football's football. There won't be a great deal that happens in this game that Raider Kadra won't be familiar with just because of the fact he'd maybe only trained three times with the squad. So, Illiman Ndiaye, Raider Kadra, and I would have Rhian Brewster up there as well. I think he's looked sharp in pre-season. I think he's largely picked up where he left off before the injury. I know Paul Heckingbottom has said that he wants to sort of coax him back into competitive action, and I totally get that that is going to be a very, very different feel to sort of the action that you get during a pre-season friendly. But from what I've seen of him, I think he can certainly do an hour at this stage. He lasted 90 minutes in his last pre-season friendly at Barnsley, of course. So bring him on from the start. Have him on there at the start. Don't bring him on for the last 30 minutes, in my view. So there you go. Kadra, Ndiaye and Brewster.
Just looking at that, when Billy Sharp comes back and Ollie McBurney comes back, it's quite a five to have at your disposal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it will be an even better five. And I know I've droned on about this before. It will be an even better five if Sheffield United realise that Ollie McBurney is not a target man.
Indeed.
It will be a much better and a much stronger five if Sheffield United allow Ollie McBurney to be Ollie McBurney. Because what I've seen for the past 2 years is someone, and again, credit to him for doing this, but who has been masquerading as a target man, who has been pretending to be a target man. Deep down, sure, Ollie knows he's not himself. Allow Ollie McBurney to be the player that Sheffield United signed. So I think if they can do that, they're going to have a really, really strong five anyway. As you say, Billy Sharp will always score goals. Again, fact. And I think it will be an even stronger one and an even more competitive one if Ollie McBurney can be Ollie McBurney.
We'll wrap it up now, James. I was going to ask you for a prediction. I was going to ask you for a season prediction. I know you've said top six is an absolute minimum. Do you feel that they will be in the top six at the end of the season?
Go on, why not?
Go on, good. I'll just say they win the league. I might as well. Who cares? Get that bus sorted, lads. We'll be back here in May. The bus around town. Right, thanks, James. We're back again next week for another edition of the Star Blaze podcast. Hopefully talking about a victory on the opening day of the season for Sheffield United against Watford. Thanks very much, James. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week.